On today's edition of the Psychology Podcast, we will be talking with Dr. Eduardo Salas and Dr. Richard McGlynn about teamwork. Dr. Salas is trustee chair and professor of psychology at the University of Central Florida, where he also holds an appointment as principal scientist for human factors at the Institute for Simulation and Training. Dr. McGlynn is a professor of psychology at Texas Tech University. He is on the editorial board for the journal Group Dynamics, Theory, Research, and Practice. His research is focused on social influence processes, particularly in small interacting face-to-face groups. Dr. McGlynn, what are some advantages to working in teams?
The main advantage of teams is that teams help us bring things together. Teams collect information, enable people to use their resources and abilities. People bring different perspectives. It's what individuals have as individuals that's brought together in a team. So that's the big advantage. I can't do everything myself. You have something that I don't have, and a team enables us to bring those things together.
Last semester, I was on a team for one of my classes that just didn't work. Dr. Salas, what makes teams not work?
No matter how good you are, how good your team is, there are periods where the team acts dysfunctional. You have a poor leader that comes in or that sets a climate that it's not conducive to collaboration, to coordination, to effective communication. A leader that basically says, you follow what I do, I don't need your input. That creates a dysfunctional team. When teams don't know their roles and responsibility, it also creates dysfunctionality because then nobody takes charge of things. Nobody knows who needs to do what with whom in those kind of things. When you don't have trust, mutual trust, which is critical, then without mutual trust, there's no opportunity to resolve conflicts. Without opportunity to resolve conflicts, there's no accountability of the problems. Without accountability, then you don't have ownership, and without ownership, you don't have results. Another one is when new team members come in that don't know their job or they cannot be trusted or the people are not familiar with. We all adjust our behavior according to the familiarity that we have with our teammates, and we all make judgments about our teammates. So if we have a poor judgment about the experience or ability or whatever of our teammate, then we act differently, and that could be good or could be bad. Not having the appropriate reinforcements and rewards also can be dysfunctional for a team. Most organizations spend a lot of time creating teams, and then they reward individual performance. And when you do that, then that creates a dysfunction. People are not going to, over time, are not going to behave as a team if at the end I get reinforced and rewarded by my individual performance.
There's generally two kinds of problems that can occur in teams. Conflicts that have to do with the task itself, how to do it, how to approach it, things that are really task-oriented. On the other hand, there are problems that have to do with personalities and styles and things that have to do with people getting along with each other. And sometimes those two things interact with each other, so a certain aspect of the task brings out something in the individual people that doesn't mesh very well. So teams don't work at an optimal level, ever. Their potential is great, they can be very helpful, but very often they fail to live up to that potential as well. In addition to all the things that determine individual performance, team performance depends on a number of additional factors. Coordination is one of those things. Coordination has to do with how the behavior of team members meshes with the behavior of others. I can lay down a perfect squeeze bunt in a baseball game, but if my teammates think I'm going to do something else, it can be a disaster at the team level. Coordination has to do with timing, doing the right thing at the right time. It's not just about how good you are at your own part of the job. A second factor is having team members in the right job. Sometimes this is formal, so we might ask the guy who's the spreadsheet whiz to do the budgeting, but a lot of it is more subtle, knowing who's the real expert on a given topic. A third team-level factor is the exchange of information or other resources. As far as task performance is concerned, this is one of the main reasons to have teams, so that people can share what they have with others who might be able to use it. Another thing that teams do is correct errors. It's awfully hard sometimes to see what you're doing wrong as an individual, but teammates can see each other's errors more easily. Teams also have the ability to increase or decrease motivation. whether it's a positive or a negative effect depends a lot on how accountable the team members are for their own individual performance. Even though they don't realize it most of the time, people don't work as hard when their contributions to the group's product can't be traced back to them.
So what should I look for when putting a team together? What makes someone a good team member?
There are a number of things, and these range around behaviors, attitudes or feelings, and thoughts, cognitions, knowledges. So the first thing I would like to know is, are the team members team-oriented? That is, do they like being in a team? Do they value the input from others? Do they seek the input from others? So the first characteristic, which is, this is basically an attitude, would be, can they behave in a collective-oriented manner? The second characteristic is, one of the beauties of teams is that they're adaptable. So can the team members adapt? Can they shift their behaviors according to the situation? Can they take lead when it's needed? Can they take the back seat when it's also needed? So are they adaptable? Are they flexible? A third characteristic would be, can they provide supportive behaviors? Can they do backup behavior? Can they step in when people are in trouble, when people are under stress, when people have too much workload? So can they provide backup behavior? Of course, underneath all of this, they have to know their own job. You cannot be a good team member if you don't know your own job. So do they know their task work in addition to their teamwork? Do they have situation awareness at the team level, something we call mutual performance monitoring? These are not people who just worry about their own thing and their own jobs. And of course, can they communicate well? Can they provide information exchange that is precise and accurate?
It's probably most important for people in teams to think about team goals rather than individual goals. Even when you're working on a team, you've got your own job or your own part of the job to do. And you have to be working toward your own particular personal goal. At the same time, there's a team goal. To put it simply, if you don't get your own way, it doesn't seem like things are going well.
Thank you, Dr. McGlynn and Dr. Salas. Remember that being a part of a team has advantages and disadvantages. To be a good teammate, you need to know what your responsibilities are and have an understanding of the task, your resources, and the goals of the team. To learn more about the Texas Tech Psychology Podcasts, please visit www.psychology.ttu.edu. This podcast was produced by Dr. Frank Durso, edited by Kristen Goodhart and Liz Schmidlin, and relayed by me, Allison Hall. Stay healthy and active, and have a great day.